Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 508. Science Faction, your weekly corona update. The numbers stand as follows for today, November 8th, 2020. Worldwide infected, 50.6 million. Infected U.S., 10.26 million. Worldwide deaths, 1.26 million. U.S. deaths, 243,000. All right, so for those of you guys who might have heard something on the news, we did a little election thing in the U.S. over the past week, and we switched over our presidential administration. So what exactly does that mean in terms of coronavirus? Well, according to our president-elect Joe Biden, we are supposed to supposedly now have an emphasis on science-based strategies, which is a fantastic idea. Let's see if it does get implemented. But that would be great given our administration's current ego-based strategy or like whatever you hear on Fox News-based strategy. I don't know what you would call it. It certainly has not been science-based. Biden has said he will obviously continue to work on vaccines. We do need a vaccine, but also wants to do things in the interim. I like the term he used, which is walking and chewing gum at the same time, meaning it can't just be that. He also wants to have a massive distribution of PPE, which is well overdue, very much needed. Hopefully that will happen. Also distribution of rapid tests to help certain sectors resume work and life and everything. So you can imagine how, let's say you really did want to have schools get back in session. Well, one way to do that would be to find a way to do a bunch of rapid testing of all the students and teachers at the beginning of the day. And if you're positive, you don't go into school that day. Well, assuming we had accurate rapid tests and an ability to test people in a way that they wouldn't then get sick from one another, you know, pre-test or during the test, that's a great idea. And rapid test distribution could very much help bring us back to regular life in certain sectors. It would just have to be implemented well and safely. And, you know, I don't know if all the kids would sit in the parking lot with their parents in the cars and, you know, you get the rapid test. I think it takes like 15 minutes. I think it right now has a pretty high false negative ratio. So maybe you would have to do two or three. You'd have to do the math and figure out, you know, what that number is. But, you know, those are great plans. They're much overdue. And again, we will see. Talk is cheap. We'll see if that's actually implementable. But if that is, that might be a really interesting way to get us safely moving while we're waiting on this vaccine. There might also be possible federal implementations of things like mask mandates or automatic shutdowns for certain areas in which an infection rate is met. Those would also be very well needed and much overdue because things like mask mandates, which a lot of the heads of our medical establishment says are well overdue, would dramatically reduce the infection rate and therefore the death rate from this. But something that I think would be great, and again, I think he is likely to do it, we will see if he actually does it, we're not going to celebrate him just yet, would be just to follow the advice of experts and what the science is pointing to, as opposed to contradict it directly, which is what our current administration has been doing. A lot of screw the masks, it's not that bad, we're going to get over it in 2 seconds, it's no big deal, blah, 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 blah. Just getting away from that is going to be a huge difference. Having the leader of this country be able to say, no, this is a really big deal. We're going to work really hard at it. And even if you didn't have more PPE or more rapid tests or a federal mask mandate, simply not contradicting the scientists on this, where they have to spend half their time doing science and half the time figuring out how not to piss off the leader of the free world, would be a huge step forward. But just remember, we still have 2.5 more months of our current president. Doesn't switch over until January. And even if new measures were implemented the day Biden took over, he would still have what is currently the highest infection rate of any country on Earth and the highest in the history of this country for this disease to attend to. So even a perfect strategy, if he could take over and the very next day nobody else got sick, would still result in a significant number of deaths just from the people who are currently sick right now and will continue to get sick over the next 2.5 months. So this is not a panacea. We are not out of the woods yet. We still have a bunch of stuff to do. And no matter what he does, it will not be a perfect strategy. There will be some mistakes. There will be some people who are inevitably going to get sick. So we have to keep in mind we are not out of the woods. It's just that we can kind of see a light at the end of this. And I want to point out that it's not all upsides. There will be some downsides as well. Not only were there some crazy people who got into office, including a QAnon follower got into the House of Representatives, but on top of that, frankly, like I went out yesterday when you're recording this. Yesterday was the day that officially they released the announcement that Biden won. And I drove around, you know, with my wife and son as celebrations were going around, going on in our town. And it was fun to drive around and see those celebrations. But there were a lot of people without masks in what could be super spreading events very close to one another and, you know, likely spreading that around. And so literally the celebration of this election may end up killing people. In fact, almost inevitably will. There will be some spreads that would not have happened otherwise. And so, you know, again, not all positives. The other thing to remember is when somebody else gets in power, the other side tends to double down on their beliefs, and they might double down on the belief of rejecting science and PPE. And so we might actually see a further shift towards dangerous strategies from people who consider themselves on the right in the United States. All right, article number two, a new vaccine made of artificial particles shows really good immune response. This is really interesting. We've talked before about a few of the vaccine candidates that are going through trials right now, from that two-part Russian vaccine we talked about to some of the offerings from AstraZeneca and Pfizer. All really, really interesting. But there's an interesting new one. So a paper just came out of the University of Washington, and they are using an artificial nanoparticle, like a group of balls that kind of resemble the viral body itself, with approximately 60 copies of that infamous ACE2 spike protein fused to the outside of them. So this like nanoparticle ball with a bunch of the ACE2 spikes on the outside. Remember, this spike protein is the mechanism by which the virus infects human cells. So this is what we want to train your immune system to locate and fight. Well, the result was that the mice exposed to this new ball and spike vaccine produced 10 times more antibodies than mice that were exposed to just the spike protein itself, which is the case in many of the leading vaccine candidates, meaning this seems to be, at least in terms of stimulating response, 10 times as effective as a lot of the leading candidates that are just using the spike protein. Maybe it's because the way it's structured with that ball and the spikes coming off of it, it lets our immune system better recognize it, or it just tends to produce more antibodies than the spike itself because it's larger or mimics a virus. Whatever it is, seems to be much more effective in producing an immune response, which is really, really good news because that's what we need. Especially as we are seeing more and more that people who have caught the disease have been able to be reinfected later, indicating that getting over the disease doesn't necessarily give you very long-term immunity. Certainly not for all people, but we don't know how long it gives you for anybody. And so it might be that these type of vaccine immunities are so much stronger and better that that is really what we need. And something that's 10 times stronger than the already existing vaccine immunities would obviously give you some kind of advantage long-term. All right. And lastly, once again, going back to just America, we are seeing increasing infection rates and increasing death tolls, though falling death rates. So I talked to you guys last week about how we were having the biggest infection numbers we had ever had, with 100,000 people being infected per day. We have now beaten that. We're now at like 120,000 per day in the United States, which is crazy. This is really getting out of hand. It's especially striking rural areas, the Northern Plains areas like the Dakotas and Montana and those places. It's a pretty terrifying thing when you think of how many people are getting sick. However, death rates are falling, because even though we're at those numbers right now, our death numbers are somewhere hovering around 1,000 deaths a day. Still unacceptable, still insanely high, still way bigger than anywhere else, but proportionate to the number of people who are sick, way smaller. So why is that? Well, a group of researchers wanted to look at it and see, is it just different people coming in? Are these people that are less susceptible to dying because all the easily susceptible people already died in April and March and stuff? Or is this something else? So they controlled for factors like age, race, socioeconomic status, et cetera, et cetera. And even with all of those controlled, a person hospitalized today was 1/3 as likely to die as a similar person hospitalized in March or April. That's amazing. That's huge progress. What could be responsible for that? We've talked before about how as viruses work their way through a population, they become less and less deadly. That's just an evolutionary adaptation to better spread. It could be that, but more likely what we're seeing is multifold reasons, things like drugs like remdesivir, which we've covered, and dexamethasone, which we've covered. One an antiviral and one a steroid, both have shown some promise, and dexamethasone in helping lower death rates, and remdesivir, at least in some studies, in terms of getting people out of the hospital more quickly. Also, learning little tricks, things like lying a person either on their stomach or in a prone position as opposed to on their back to better distribute oxygen throughout their body, means that once you get into the hospital, even if we didn't get those drugs, just the treatment, the way we lay you on the bed, is better and is more likely to help you survive. Also, some interesting research is coming out that things like face coverings and social distancing are likely reducing the viral load that any given sick person has been exposed to. And we know that viral load, you know, the amount of the virus you're exposed to when you get sick, is an important factor in how bad the infections become. So maybe even when people are getting sick, our PPE and social distancing is really helping squash down on the death toll of this virus. That is all very positive news to kind of counteract that 120,000 per day infection number, which is just mind-boggling for a disease that is essentially voluntary at this point. You know, we can all put on masks and the thing could go away in a week, but we're just not doing it. So at least there is a bright spot in that otherwise bad news. All right, thank you so much for joining me for 508, where you learned all about how the American election will impact COVID, how a new type of vaccine may be 10 times as effective as our current vaccines in trial, and how our infection rates are going through the roof, but our death rates are falling. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back later this week for Science Faction 509.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.